Canberra to further bring to light to Australia at large what's still increasingly happening to our children being stolen by a system that's failed our people for many generations. The stats are increasing. They're not decreasing with the amount of children that are still being stolen and placed in out-of-home care. And we as Aboriginal people need to stand up and give not only ourselves, but most importantly, our children a voice to bring them home.
I've been looking at the guiding principles for strengthening the participation of local Aboriginal community in child protection decision making. And that was something that was implemented last year through the New South Wales State Government. Can you talk a bit about those principles, please?
Well, what we aimed to do is to empower families and communities to keep our children within community and help the whole family as a whole, because, you know, as opposed to families being ripped apart, these children don't need to go out of our community. We are fully capable of dealing with these issues, getting help and support for families where needed. And, you know, the children get lost in the process with docs when they're taken. They don't get the assistance that they need. These children also need to be included within the family unit to keep this family together and maintain a healthy environment for the whole family, which is not something that docs do. By doing this, getting this, you know, endorsed, that enables us to look at the family as a whole, which is what's meant to happen in the first place. And it's about empowering our people in maintaining the care and protection of children and the family as a whole unit. That's a big step for us to achieve in such a short time in, you know, bringing this to light and empowering other Aboriginal families to step forward and say, yes, we are affected, this is happening, and for them to know that there is support out there, that we're not individuals that is suffering this. We are a people that is suffering this plight.
Well, you talk about in the guidelines about collective parenting models, and the word collective is being used a lot, also with collective healing, with the Healing Foundation. So, as you mentioned, with the families working on restoring some of the issues that are occurring in the families and reconnecting and keeping kinships. Obviously, you know, it's not just about the grandparents, but it's and their relationship with the child, but it's also the whole family, isn't it?
Yes. And, you know, like we parent differently. There's, you know, that's not a myth, that's a reality. We don't parent as mum and dad. We parent as mum, dad, nan, pop, uncles, aunties. And, you know, we all look after these children. They're the responsibility of all of us. And this is something that's ignored. Just because the white system doesn't acknowledge or understand, this is the way we were brought up. This is a system that has worked since time began for us. And, you know, they stand in judgment and say it's wrong. Well, we are going to prove to them that this is not wrong. This is a healthy way of life. These children belong to us all, not just mum and dad. It's a whole approach to family, and that's the way we've practiced it for years, and this is the way we're still going to move forward and pass that way of living down to our children.
I've been reading the guidelines, and it explains that the legislation and policies for making decisions about Aboriginal children at risk of harm mandate greater involvement of Aboriginal communities is in reference to the Children and Young Persons Act of 1998 and New South Wales, the Care and Protection Act. So obviously the child's protection is the most important value of looking after your children in communities. But then it also brings in the issues around culture and language, disability, religion and sexuality of a child or young person. So it's a holistic approach to parenting.
Yes. You know, like, we love our children, you know, we will protect our children. It goes back to the old mentality of, you know, welfare when they first put all this into place as a so-called protection thing, Protection Act against our people. We're not denying that we need protection. We need protection against these policies and that the government put in place that are way outdated way back then. You know, they're still looking at the genocidal acts of yesteryear. They're still practicing those today. Things that need to be revisited, you know, they need to acknowledge the crimes of the past are the crimes of the present. What about our children that die in care, in out-of-home care? What about our children that are mistreated in out-of-home care? Why aren't charges brought against these people and the government for putting our children in these situations, yet we're supposed to be the ones that are putting our children at risk? The risk to our children is to be taken away from their families, taken away from their culture, and we care about them. We're the experts on who we are and what it is to be Aboriginal. We're the experts on our culture, not some white person sitting up on, you know, Snob Hill dictating down to us what we should be doing, how we should be doing it, and when we should be doing it. That is our right as Aboriginal people, and yet we're the ones disadvantaged.
I'm hearing allegations that knowledge from the grandmothers group that there's still issues where grandparents or other family members aren't being contacted when children are being taken from their families, and that's in New South Wales, even though these guidelines have been set up. Is that something that you could speak about?
This is a continual problem. Docs don't even follow what's down on paper, their guidelines. You know, they're meant to have family conferencing. They're meant to come out and, you know, assist families staying together. I mean, the only time, you know, we find out that the little ones are taken is when the job's done.